To the Generations Radio Broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host with you, back from Africa. And Danny Craig's in studio with me right now to download what happened over the 2.5 weeks we were gone to Africa.
Yeah, I haven't even heard about it yet, so it's going to be good.
It was an incredible experience in our lives. Of course, the objective for our trip was to present a distinctively Christian education against a non-Christian humanist education. What's happening in Africa is they're finding the schools have been co-opted. They've been pretty much controlled by the state. Initially, the schools throughout Africa were established by Christian missionaries, and then the churches pretty much gave up control of the schools to the state. And once the state...
Does that sound familiar? Well,
I know. And so once the state got control, of course, they're moving more towards a pluralistic, polytheistic form of curriculum that doesn't acknowledge God and brings in more of the secularism of the West. And the influence of the West is strong in Africa. In almost every venue that I spoke at, I offered my official apologies, America's official apologies for exporting the secularism and the horrific forms of sexuality and such that we advocate here in the West into Africa. And I would tell them that the President Donald Trump couldn't make it, so they sent me instead. And so I offered an official apology for what we're exporting. And see, we've exported two different worldviews to the foreign nations around the world over the last two centuries, and that is the Christian worldview and the secular materialistic worldview. So they came on the slave ships, and then they came later in United Nations convoys. They came later in United States State Department policies. They come later through other forms, and then that over time will infect the African nations as well. So the Christian missionaries have always been faced with two problems, not one. One is the pagan worldview. The second was the worldview, the materialistic worldview, was exported from the West on the slave ships.
And the traders, yeah,
we're dealing the same issues today. We're dealing with the very same issues today. We head out in Africa, and we are up against the secularization of the universities and the schools. So a Christian worldview on education is essential. Of course, we're trying to reintroduce that in the States as well with our Christian discipleship curriculum. So much of a God-centered approach to curriculum has been pretty much wiped out of the curriculum, and that happened in the 1920s and 1930s. You do remember that American curriculum began with A in Adam's Fall, We Sinned All. That was the New England Primer that was issued in, 1655. And then Noah Webster's Blueback Speller had multiple references to Scripture all the way through it. The McGuffey readers had the same thing. And it was John Dewey in the 1920s that expunged every reference to Christianity, to the church, to Christian history, to God, to the Word of God. And so by the time you get to the 1940s and 1950s with the Dick and Jane readers, the Alice and Jerry readers, and so forth, all references to Christianity was wiped out. And full-fledged naturalistic materialism pretty much dominated the first and second, third grade readers on into the 12th grade. So Christianity was wiped out by the time you make it to the 30s and 40s. And then they took the prayer out of the schools in 1963 and the Ten Commandments off the walls. But it was just wallpaper by then. Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely the tide that we're trying to stem here.
That's what we're trying to reverse as part of the Generations ministry. You know, Danny, we really believe it's time to bring God back.
Yeah, absolutely.
To bring the Word of God back.
And I think this hit home for me just this past weekend. I was speaking at a homeschool conference in Michigan and had the opportunity to speak at their Taste of Homeschooling event where these parents – these Christian parents who are coming in to consider homeschooling, I can get a taste of homeschooling. And I presented your definition that we, I don't think it was 12 months ago that we came up with this definition.
You worked on that definition.
In our Bible study,
yeah,
which
is the definition for education.
Yeah, which is the spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical training of children for work, worship, and relationship in this life and in eternity.
Yeah.
And I presented that to them, and I told them I was just plagiarizing. But I had some people come up to me afterwards, and I'll tell you two people. This dad came up, and he said, you know what? we've been considering homeschooling, and I'm sold on it now after your talk. But the thing is, I didn't realize there could be so much God in education.
Yeah.
And when he said that, it just, you know, where have we come from? You know, that's the world in which we live, and in which we've thought of academics as not involving God.
Well, and the key verse, of course, is Deuteronomy 6:7. Teach your children diligently the word of God as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, and may it be as a frontlet between your eyes or their eyes. That is, you know, God's word needs to be just integrated. And this, I think, is what needs to happen. What happened with modern education was a separation of math, science, English, literature, et cetera, from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But Deuteronomy 6:8 says, no, you do not separate the Word of God from the science, the history, the literature.
And I think there's a really strong word of encouragement for moms and dads here, and it's this. Another mom came up to me afterwards, and she said, I was so encouraged by that definition because it was like a load was lifted off my shoulder because I realized that while my kids might not be the greatest academicians in the world, what I am doing is training them for work, relationship, and worship. And my thought was, yes, Jesus' burden is lighter.
Yeah.
When we do the things that Jesus cares about most, it's lighter than the burden that the world sets on us.
Amen. And I think people have lost what it is to educate a child. They've lost the concept of life integration. They've lost the concept of the purpose for education. They've lost the concept for the essence, the content of education being the Word of God as a frontlet between their eyes. And so that's what we're trying to do in our Christian discipleship curriculum. You know, as I set out to write that American history course, which is about done, and folks can order it now on our website, I would give 2 or 3 Bible verses, then a paragraph of American history, then 5 Bible verses, another half page on American history, back to 7 Bible verses, and then, you know, another paragraph or two of American history, and so forth and so on. So that's the way it goes for 800 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are reading this, and they're thinking, now, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to teach the Word of God? Are you trying to teach history? And the answer, of course, is
yes.
Yes, absolutely. So when our children are done with this history course, they're going to know a lot of American history, but they're going to know more about the Word of God than they've ever learned in their life. And so that's what God wants in the education of our children. He wants the Word of God to be integrated as a frontlet between their eyes. And that's what we're doing with the Christian Discipleship Curriculum. In fact, we have a sale going on right now.
We do.
For today.
That's right. Exactly. So this week, we just wrapped up our mini course on passing on the faith through literature. And if you're not aware of that, haven't seen that, you can go to generations.org/literature. And that's where you'll see the details of the sale as well. And essentially,
we're talking like half price on the literature
exactly.
curriculum.
Exactly. Everything's being offered at half price. You buy all of the literature curriculum and then some great deals on the individual items. And then we also just restructured our core curriculum packs. So we now have an essentials version of the core curriculum packs and a complete version. The essentials, of course, includes history, literature, and Bible. And the complete includes also the character and worldview elements as well. So a little more customized there for you, and it's going through Saturday, but through tomorrow night, we have the 50% off sale on our entire line of literature curriculum.
Mm-hmm. From 7th to 12th grade, meaning the Christian classics. And
exactly.
We have chosen the 25 to 30 Christian classics of all time that, of course, you've got to have on your library. Is, you know, if you've got 6 or 25 books in your library, some people have 150 books, but they don't have the 25 Christian classics, the best of all ever written. And so what we would recommend is that you pick up the 25 best Christian classics ever written in these various compendiums. And of course, we have the study guides that go with them.
Yeah. So go to generations.org/literature. And again, we've also just released 7th grade within the last few weeks as well.
Right.
So
that's right.
Keep that in mind if you're not, if you haven't seen the 7th grade offering, which is now Great Christian Adventures, take a look at that. But I think what we're trying to do, as you've spoken of your thoughts from Africa, is we're trying to use the freedom that God's given us here in America to the best of our ability, right? Not everybody has the opportunity that we do to saturate our children in the Word of God through these great Christian writings.
And Danny, we've got to saturate our kids. We've got to find a radical reformation in the area of education because we've been losing and losing and losing ground for the last 30, 40 years of the homeschooling movement and the Christian schooling movement. We've been losing ground. I mean, let's just face it, 42% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God in 1980. That is now like 5 to 6% for millennials. And so, you know, that's a 700% drop off on the millennials believing that the Bible is the word of God. So obviously secularism has pretty much got a hold of the millennial generation. Now, how do we as concerned parents, as pastors, as leaders, how do we react to this? We go to 200 Proof Christian Education now. We bring the word of God back in the literature. We bring the word of God back in the history. And that's what we're doing at the Christian Discipleship Curriculum. More on our Africa trip in just a moment on the Generations Podcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Danny Craig in studio with me today as we talk about Christian education, not just for Africa, but for America as well. And, you know, the African trip was eye-opening as I saw that they were dealing with the very same things we're dealing with right now. Now, they don't transgender their bathrooms yet. I guess that's still next year for them. But they're certainly going through a radical shift as secularism is taking a hold of the colleges, the universities, and the K-12 schools in Africa as
well. Even Christian universities.
Oh, yeah. It's affecting. It is affecting. Now, of course, they still have prayer. They still have the ability to read the Word of God. So they're basically where we were in the 1940s and 1950s before the Warren Court. The Warren Court, of course, was the court that abandoned school prayer or disallowed school prayer and the Ten Commandments, the reading of the Word of God in the classrooms, and that was in 1963-ish. Well, we were out in Africa for 2.5 weeks. I think I taught some 31 times, 7 to 8 different venues. We met with leaders of churches, orphanages, schools, governments, large universities, and so forth. It's great experience. Tremendous experience.
It's amazing that God lets us do these things.
Oh,
right?
It's amazing. The relationships built, phenomenal. The kind of fellowship we had, you know, with some of the Christian leaders in various countries. Malawi, Zambia, Uganda. It was tremendous.
When I read your story about singing gospel songs with Pastor Charles in Uganda.
That was fun, yeah. As we were driving south down into Kampala one evening, we were singing, some of the Southern gospel songs. And some of these guys pretty much knew the same songs we knew, same hymns, same gospel songs. It was amazing. But Africa's education, as I said, you know, began with Christian churches sponsoring the schools, but Africa is now facing huge pressures from the West. And what we wanted to do is draw hard line distinctions between a Christian education and a non-Christian education. And you think about it, Danny, it's completely different. The nature and value of the child is very, very different. We see a child as made in the image of God. We see a child as a sinful being that needs the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God in that child. Now, that's not the way the secularist views the child. So just the very nature of the child is different in terms of the sphere of authority over the area of education. Well, of course, you know, public schools believe that's the state. We
right.
believe that's the family. So, again, radically different approaches to education. Radically different approaches to education. If you read the Word of God, you find that the raising of a child is the responsibility and obligation of a father. Father, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and also the mother, as we find in various aspects of the book of Proverbs. So again, the Christian versus the non-Christian humanistic form of education, very, very different. In terms of the purpose of education, we talked about this as well. We pointed out the purpose of education in a Christian framework is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever, to worship God. You know, that's the whole idea. So you want to get to the point of worship in your chemistry classroom. Well, you walk up to the university professor just down here at the junior college or wherever, and you ask him, what's the purpose? Are you going to get to worship? You know, where are you going to get to worship in this chemistry classroom this morning? He's going to say, what? Worship? You mean worship God? You got to be kidding me. That's not the purpose of education. So, again, radically, radically different forms of education when you compare the Christian approach to the humanist approach. Of course, our purpose of education is to glorify God. It's also to know God, to get to know God. To get to know God in history, His works in history, to get to know God in terms of science and what He's doing, in terms of His creativity, His wisdom, His power, His glory. These are the things we get to know. We get to know something about God. Whereas, you know, again, go into other schools and say, what's the purpose of education here? They say, it's not to glorify God. Certainly is not to worship God in the chemistry classroom. Well, we might do that, you know, in a church service somewhere, but we're not going to do it in the chemistry classroom because there's this radical, radical division of faith and knowledge or education in the secular classroom, in the mind of the average American or African today. So again, our purpose of education is to glorify God, to worship Him, to consider God and to get to know God and to seek God's kingdom, not man's kingdom.
Yeah.
See, man's approach is to glorify man.
Mm-hmm.
It's to glorify the smartest kid in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's to glorify the fastest kid on the track team. It's to glorify the funniest kid in the theater program. You see, it's to glorify man. It's to glorify man. It's to glorify man. You don't find that the chief end of the schools today is to glorify God very much. There may be a Christian school here and there that would advocate something like that.
Yeah, and I think actually one of the areas that we've been most subverted as it relates to the purpose of education is the idea of work. And I think we think that we have a lot more common ground in this area than we actually do, where we think that, well, of course, you know, we Christians and unbelievers both agree that the purpose of education is to be able to work and provide for family. And there's truth to that. But I think the idea behind work is radically different, whereas unbelievers believe that the purpose of education is to prepare you for a job.
To make money.
So that you can live the American dream.
That's right.
The believer believes that the purpose of education is to understand the calling that God has on your life. And then as a result of understanding that calling, what do? You do good works.
Yeah, that's right. And you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you're working for Jesus in anywhere you are, and it's not about the money. Now, God gives you the money. You seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. But that's not the purpose for education. The purpose for education is to seek the kingdom of God first and to seek His glory first and to seek to know Him first. And so, again, we see a radically different approach to education. Also, the purpose of teaching reading and writing. You think about Deuteronomy 6:6-9. What is the purpose of reading and writing? And so I'd stand up in front of, you know, these teaching colleges in Africa, and I would say, okay, why are you teaching a child to read? For three reasons. The first reason is so they can read the Word of God. The second reason is so they can teach their children to read the Word of God, and so that they can teach their children to read the Word of God. So, see, that's it.
What about great-grandchildren?
And the great-grandchildren, too. So it's four reasons. And then the great-great-grandchildren. So five reasons. Yeah. So, and so on it goes, right? So this is what I reminded them of. My little daughter, Abigail, at 4 years of age, January 1st, remember she said, Dad, what I want to do this year is I want to learn to ride a bike and read God's Word. And again, that's it. She's got it. See, why we lose the purpose. We lose the purpose for why we're teaching reading and writing. We want them to be decent readers and writers, but why? But why? But why? Because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because this is our breathing. This is our life. We won't survive. We live by the words of God. We absolutely need to teach our children to breathe, and we need to teach our children to read God's Word.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And so that's why we're doing what we're doing. And so many kids sit in these classrooms, they have no idea why they're reading or writing. They have no idea. They don't realize the reason you're learning to read is so you can read God's Word.
Primarily.
So you can read God's Word to your children, and so you can teach your children to read God's Word and so that your children can teach God's word to their children. So again, if we put this front and center in the minds of our little first, second, third, fourth, and fifth graders, we're going to be ahead of the game. These are the sorts of things we talked about. We talked about how the method of education is completely different in a Christian world and life view. The content of education is completely different. So these are the things that we were talking about.
What was the response?
Very much receiving what I had to say. It was amazing. As I was teaching at a teaching college, one of the largest teaching colleges in all of Africa. Okay. So here I am teaching, you know,
teachers.
Professors in the teaching college and future teachers in Africa.
That's who you want to teach. And if you're here to try to get
and,
to,
and you, you've heard me teach, right? You've heard some of my presentations where, you know, I literally burst out, you know, I'm talking about the importance of worshiping God and glorifying God and fearing God, reverencing God. And I talk about Victoria Falls and how the power of God is seen and how when we were down there, I was singing, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. And I literally sang the first verse to I Sing the Mighty Power of God. And you could hear hallelujahs and amens.
You know,
and
I bet Africa was a great place for you to preach.
Oh, it was wonderful.
You were right at home.
Oh, I guess I told one of my children, I think I might be an albino African or something. Maybe my issue, I don't know, but I resonated to them. They resonated to me. And, you know, imagine being in, quote unquote, kind of a secular, not kind of a Christian, but kind of a secular because they train public school teachers. Most of the public school teachers in these African public schools. And imagine, you know, singing, I Sing the Mighty Power of God and presenting the fear of God, the reverence of God, the worship of God, the glory of God to these teachers and hearing, amen, amen, hallelujah, brother. You're not going to get that at Harvard teaching college. You follow me? You're not going to get that in American colleges. I would have lasted 60 seconds, maybe. I taught for 5 hours, Danny. Can you imagine that? 5 hours. I was the only class for the day.
Tell me not straight.
Isn't that something?
Five hours straight.
No, I had a break. Okay, I had a break for lunch. And the break for lunch, I actually, the principal, the president of the college had us out for lunch. Can you imagine this? And we talked about the future of college and education in the state of Zambia. And it's really, really interesting. You know, one of the things that we talk about is life integration. And so much education, of course, is not life integrated. And that's because, you know, secular education just loses it when it comes to biblical principles like life integration. And we bring this into every workshop, every seminar, every conference we ever do on homeschooling. We bring in a distinctively Christian approach to education, which includes the life integration component. And so, and they resonated to it. Oh, man, I had professors going, yes, 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 amen and hallelujah, as we were talking about these principles.
God had them going, amen.
There you go. There you go. Well, the president of the Zambia's teaching college, you know, he was talking to me about the challenges they face. And by the way, they have the same issues in Malawi. Yeah. College graduates don't get jobs. Only about 20% of college graduates are getting jobs. Mm. I met one guy who had a master's degree in some kind of international finance from a Chinese university, and he was raising chickens and selling eggs.
Wow.
That was pretty much all he was doing. And so that's 80% of college graduates. So you know, again, education pretty much irrelevant to getting jobs. Now, in America, evidently, we're not quite there yet, but I think we're getting increasingly irrelevant in the present generation. So I really push the idea of mentorship.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And you pushed it as well. I mean, you put together this entire course on mentorship.
Kickstart,
exactly. And so I pushed this very hard. In fact, I'm sending him a copy of our entire course so that they can incorporate a mentorship course into their college offerings. In fact, he even mentioned that his son is trying to do web design, but he can't get a job. He can't get into the economy. He can't network into the economy because nobody hires. But if he could get a mentorship, then he would have that opportunity for networking, which would increase the contracting, which eventually would increase the opportunities for mentorship, and then you begin to get into a positive spiral for the entire economy. So this is what I brought out to him. Right now, sadly, these governments are providing most of the jobs, and they're kind of developing the Keynesian approach where the government is stimulating the economy by increasing debt and employment by employing, people into waste jobs, which, again, just continues to drill the economy into the soil. Mm-hmm. So I recommended that the private enterprise in the states of Zambia and elsewhere throughout Africa would open up mentorships, and then that maybe the governments would offer tax rebates for companies that were willing to do this, much like Switzerland has done. So I brought up Switzerland as an example for them, because remember, about two-thirds of 50- and 16-year-old kids in Switzerland are doing the VET, the Vocational Education and Training Program.
Wow.
And currently, that's two-thirds. Currently, 58,000 Swiss companies provide VET programs to roughly 80,000 apprentices.
My.
You want me to say that one more time? It's incredible.
Yeah.
58,000 Swiss companies are providing VET programs to roughly 80,000 apprentices. And their unemployment rate for young people, 3%.
I think because of the opportunity that we have in the United States, maybe we're a bit lazy on this mentorship subject. In other words, what you're pointing out is in Africa, they have to to survive.
They will die if they don't.
And the day might come when we're in the same
boat. It's mentorship or bust for Africa, and I think the same thing's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Mentorship or bust, and that's why, of course, we recommend the Life Integration Principle in our educational theory, and also, my friends, the Kickstart program, absolutely essential for our kids. It says 3% of Switzerland's young people are unemployed, and that compares to 22% in EU nations and 12% in America. America has a 12% unemployment ratio for young people, 22% for EU nations, and only 3% in Switzerland. So why? Because they've got VET. And why is VET so important? Because it networks young people into the economy. It helps them to life integrate a few things and makes them useful and marketable, providing them some skills such that they're going to achieve some increased contracts, and the economy pie just will expand and expand and expand for Switzerland. But of course, this isn't happening in America. It's not happening in Africa. Why? Because these nations refuse. They refuse to do the mentorship that's been so successful in nations like Switzerland. Okay, so this is the kind of stuff that I encouraged with the president of this teaching college in Zambia. And this is just one of the stories. I was gonna tell you the other 400 stories that happened while we were in Africa, but let's just leave it there.
Maybe another broadcast.
The point is, I think we need to see a Copernican revolution. We ultimately need a reformation in the area of education. And we need to come back to the principles of God's Word. And that, of course, is why I wrote the book Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Because we need to reintroduce this biblical concept of discipleship into our children's education. The secular form from John Dewey, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and the great minds of the last 200 years have pretty much ruined education, my friends. And we need to come back to the principles of God's Word and bring them back into the methodology of how we homeschool our kids. And that's why my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, and also our Christian Discipleship Curriculum. Let's go over that one more time. In fact, if they buy this Christian discipleship curriculum at half price, and some of the packs are as low as 95% off.
Yeah, $99.
So $99 for the pack itself. We'll throw in a copy of
this week, Apostate.
Apostate is free. So
exactly.
We're giving away a copy of Apostate if you order this week.
And the Family Economics MP3 set, which really ties into this whole idea of mentorship that we've been talking about.
It brings in the entire vision, the big vision of what we're talking about with this Copernican revolution in the area of education, my friend. So again, if you buy today and we have deals that are as low as 50% off, we will throw in a $55 value, a free copy of Apostate and the Family Economics MP3 with, I think, 25 talks contained.
Absolutely,
All right, so all of that.
Generations.org/literature.
All of that at generations.org/literature. Friends, go there right now. It's the deal of the century, or at the very least, the deal of the year. Deal of the year. Again, that's generations.org/literature today. Go there today, and you'll get some great deals. Well, Danny, thanks for joining us on this Generations broadcast.
Thanks for going to Africa. That was a great story. Thank you.
Well, we're excited about what God's doing in Africa and what he's doing all around the world. In fact, we have some good deals for people who want to order from international sources, too. So if any of you would like a special deal, free shipping. We have a free shipping opportunity for those who want to order from our international community. We know there are many internationals that listen to this radio program. We have a free shipping deal for you as well. So just simply email us at host@generations.org for more information for international orders. This is Kevin Swanson and Danny Craig in studio. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.